Your BBN online feature will begin in just a moment. You can look at a BBN program schedule online at bbnradio.org. Click Programs and then Program Schedule and Links. bbnradio.org, then click Programs, then Program Schedule and Links.
Teen Week on Conference Pulpit continues this evening from BBN, and Dr. Jim Tillotson will deliver part two of his message, Dealing with Hurt. Jim Tillotson is president of Faith Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary in Ankeny, Iowa. He previously served for 18 years as the senior pastor of Meadowlands Baptist Church in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. During that time, he led the church in planting four other churches and helped to start a Christian school and a small Bible institute. Dr. Tillotson has a passion for evangelism, church planting, and preparing leaders to serve the Lord. Again, he finishes out his message that he began last evening, Dealing with Hurt, Part 2.
I know a third of you come from ministry home, and that's why we're going to do Part 2 today. Some of you who grew up in a ministry home have considered not going into ministry after seeing how your parents were treated. And I got this text yesterday. One of the pastors that was going to stay with us sent me this text yesterday. He said, I'm sorry to say that one of the charter members of the church had a stroke or some other neurological event and is in ICU. I cannot travel and sadly cannot take you up on your offer to spend time with you in your home. I'm going to have to cancel. I've been praying for the conference and I'll pray it through. Now, this is someone that already has tickets booked, was already planned to be here, but something came up at his church and he had to cancel. And sometimes when you grow up in a ministry home like that, and your dads and moms have had to make these same calls, I know how much this pastor was looking forward to coming. But he made the right choice. And sometimes when you grow up in a ministry home and your dad or mom has to make a call like that, you've looked forward to it, the tickets are booked, you're planning to go. But the Bible tells us that a good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And having been a pastor for 18 years, I would have made the same call. But it doesn't mean it's fun, doesn't mean it's easy. And I think sometimes what we do poorly, at least maybe I can talk about myself personally, is we don't communicate to our kids well when things like this happen. If you grew up in a ministry home, we're not good at communicating how hurt we were that we had to cancel those plans. We cancel them, we minister, we pour our lives out, but we never really sit down with you and say, hey, I also was really looking forward to this. I'm so sorry that we have to cancel. And sometimes we're not good at making it up. I also, a lot of you remember I read two letters. I got a third one from Anonymous. I thought my email got hacked for a minute, but thankfully that's not the case. But basically, they said, well, you know, the challenge, and I did, that person ended up did coming and telling me who wrote that letter, but their point was, you know, what about those of us who say, boy, I'm scared to go in ministry because it seems like it is so hard on the pastor's family. And, you know, and I think, thankfully, we have some great examples, whether you know this or not, but both of our dean and men of dean and women, both Lance and Carrie grew up in a ministry home, and they seem like pretty happy people. Jordan Saucer, financial aid and soccer coach, he grew up in a pastor's home. He seems like a pretty happy guy. And I think you can see that there are people that grew up in ministry. I was just on Sunday with a church whose pastor served there 40 years in the same church. And his daughter got up, and I wish I had taken her statement, but she said to the congregation, Sid, I'm not one of those people who got bitter growing up in a ministry home. And I'm so thankful for my dad who just spent his whole life serving others. And if you missed part one, I don't have time basically to rehash what we covered in part one. We finished by reading Ezekiel 18, and I want to give you very quickly 4 points on how to deal with the challenges. And I also said there's also those of you that come from broken homes. There's those of you that come, I mean, it's not just ministry homes. What if you come from a broken home? What if you're One of your parents has passed away, which I know is the case for some of you. I mean, those are also hard and hurtful things. And so how do you handle the challenges that you grew up with, and how do you go into ministry joyful? And I would encourage you, ministry is hard, but it is a lot of fun. It's a great way to spend your life. I mean, who are the heroes? You know, if you watch a movie and you see a hero, someone who saves someone else's life, if God uses you to bring someone to heaven and they are not going to hell, I think you're a hero. And whatever part you played in that was important. And some of you grew up in homes where your parents are heroes. They're just never treated that way. I hope we get to treat them that way this week. But they are making a huge difference. There's people that are going to heaven because some of your parents made a decision to be in ministry. And we've talked about all those challenges, all the difficulties that come growing up in a ministry home. And also there's difficulties that grew up in a broken home. And so number one, and it makes common sense, if you take your Bible, go to Hebrews, you have to forgive. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Forgiveness is a wonderful concept till you have to do it. But I want to challenge you this morning. Some of you need to forgive. Your parents are human. There's only one perfect person that walked this planet, and it wasn't your mom and dad. And it wasn't the church people you went to church with. And regardless of the hurts that you grew up with, you have to make a choice this morning. Am I going to forgive? And you've heard me say this. The best of men are men at best. I mean, my kids have had to forgive me. My church people have had to forgive me. I stay here long enough, you're going to have to forgive me. And you're going to say, man, why did Dr. Tilson do something that dumb? And hopefully I'll get up in front of you when I do something dumb and say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And you know, Eagle Nation will only mean something if we can forgive one another. You're going to have hurts that come up in your suite. And you're going to have to forgive each other. But some of you have been carrying, you know, when you carry bitterness, a hurt, it's like putting a knapsack and throwing a 100-pound rock in the back. And you carry that around all the time. And you know what? It wears you out, and it doesn't affect the people that hurt you. Some of you are carrying hurt from a crabby person you grew up with, and they could care less. And yet it's wearing you out. You just carry this harbored hurt. And I'm not negating the hurt this morning, but I'm telling you biblically, God says you have one option. You either get bitter or you get better. And if you're going to get better, you have to forgive. You've got to leave it with God. Did your parents do some things that they could have done better? I'm sure yes. And I would bet most of your parents, if they came in this room, I'm not talking to your parents, I'm talking to you this morning. Yes, could your parents have done something better? Yes. But you got to forgive them. You got to come to the place and say, I just got to leave that with the Lord. I can't let those hurts when I grew up ruin my life. When I do premarriage counseling, and hopefully a lot of you are going to get married, when you get married, one of the questions I ask is, are you bitter? And we all think about the person I'm marrying. And it says, no, I love the person I'm getting married to. Yes, but if you're bitter at anyone else, the Bible says in this text, bitterness will trouble you and many get defiled. I want to tell you, who's going to get defiled first? Your spouse. The closest people to you. Even though you're not bitter at them, you carry bitterness from your parents, you carry bitterness from a crabby church member who judged you harshly, it's going to affect your closest relationships. That's why it's so critical that you forgive. Someone said bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's not what you eat, it's what eats you that is often the problem. And those hurts in the past need to become a scar and not a wound. You've heard me say this before. There's a big difference between a scar and a wound. A scar, I can see it, I remember it, it doesn't hurt me anymore. And I believe some of you need to get alone with God today and just say, God, I got to give this to you. I've got to forgive my parents. I've got to forgive that person that judged me harshly. I've been carrying this. I've been so angry. I've been so bitter. For some of you said, I will never go in ministry. You need to leave that with the Lord and say, God, if you want me in ministry, I'm willing to go. And I'm standing here saying, though I made mistakes, though I was not a perfect parent, But I had people who forgave me, and I can stand and say, you know what, ministry, it's a wonderful way to spend your life. And I would also challenge you, there will be a day when you will have to ask forgiveness from someone else. I always tell people, if you've gone a long time without telling someone, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? It's not because you're perfect. How long has it been since you went to someone and said, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? If you're sitting here today saying, I can't remember saying that in the last 6 months, I think you should search your heart. I can't believe that everyone in this room in the last 6 months hasn't been wrong at some point and hurt someone and said, you know what, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? And I tell you, if someone who can't admit they're wrong is a terrible spouse, you should be checking that out while you're dating. If you're dating someone, you know, someone said, if you marry Mr. Right, that's going to be pretty tough. If he's right all the time, if she's right all the time, because there's no one who's done that. And I would just encourage you that when you do forgive, and there have been times when I've been bitter, I'm not standing here saying I've never struggled with this, but when you finally give it to God, the Bible tells us there is a peace that passeth understanding. And for some of you that have been walking around with that boulder and carrying it around your back, when you finally come to God and say, God, I'm done. I got to forgive mom and dad. I got to forgive that hurtful person I grew up with. I've got to let you have that. It will be something that you will walk away going, it's a peace that passeth understanding. And it's at that moment that that wound becomes a scar. And I trust me, you'll know it. When you really forgive and leave it with God, you'll get up from that time of prayer and you'll just go, wow. You'll still remember that hurt, but it doesn't bother you like it did before. And I would encourage you, you got to start there. How do you deal with the hurts? You got to forgive. Number two, you have to have right motivation. Go to Revelation 2. We're going to go very quickly. Revelation chapter 2. And then go to 1 Thessalonians 1. So we're going to keep your finger and we're going to go back and forth here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're going to start in Revelation 2. So go to Revelation chapter 2 first. We're going to begin in verse 2. He says in Revelation 2:2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You've tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember there from where you fall and repent. Do the first works, else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from the place unless you repent. Now, let's focus on verse 2. I know your works, your labor, patience. These people are doing a lot of good things. And this could be some of you this morning. You're doing the right things, but you have the wrong motivation. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Look what he says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope, and our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Do you see the difference in verse 3? It's the same order. It's the same three things. But in 1 Thessalonians, it's a work of faith. It's a labor of love. It's a patience of hope. If you flip back to Revelations 2, it's just works, labor, and patience. You've got to have the right motivation. If you're in Bible college because your parents said you need to be here, it's a wrong motivation. You need to do this. You're adults now. This is your choice. That's why I'm not making any of you serve. I want you to serve. I think God wants you to serve, but I want you to serve because you want to. I care far more about your heart than your outward appearance. I care far more about where you're headed than where you've been. Does that make sense? There's probably a bunch of people in this room that have a past. And that's the wonderful thing about getting forgiven. And God doesn't care about our past. He cares about our future. Where are you headed? You know, when God forgives, he forgives completely. To be remembered no more. You'll read that phrase all through the Bible when God talks about his forgiveness of your sins and my sins. He chooses not to remember them. And God comes to us and he says, when you serve the Lord, you need to do it with the right motivation. If you love God, the first and great commandment is what? Is it serve God or love God? You're scaring me. I hope freshmen know the answer to this one. Is it love or serve? Love. First and great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Bible says, if you love me, you will then keep my commandments. The order matters to God. You got to love him first. That's why, remember, I started last semester, we just focused on God's love for you. Because I believe that if you don't understand God's love for you, why would you follow his commandments? But when you can grasp that God loves you, when you really get that, you'll say, I want to serve him. What's the right motivation for ministry? Number three, be thankful for their service. I think it was Brian Traynor who said, when you fight a fire, you're going to get burned. When's the last time you thanked your parents for going into ministry? You know, if your parents are in ministry, they're on the front lines and they're getting burned. Satan hates what they do. And I could tell you of extreme counseling. Talk about if I ever had a chance of extreme counseling. I mean, I had a guy bigger than anyone and totally lost his mind. Police were called. They called me. I was over there. You know, he takes the kids to a park. I go over to the park and, you know, he just has to calm down. And the police are like, he's got to calm down. He can't come home tonight. And I say, hey, I met with your wife. You got to go take, we'll pay. We'll put you in a hotel. You just got to calm down. He loses it. What? What did you say? I said, hey, you just need to calm down. And he punched me as hard as he could in the chest. And I took a step back and he stepped into me and punched me a second time as hard as he could. I took another step back. He did it a third time. When I took my shirt off that night, my entire chest is black and blue. That's pretty extreme counseling. And what are you going to do in those situations? You know, and then I just backed up. His kids were seeing all this. I hopped in my car. He jumped in his. He cut me off. He came up to my window, and I rolled it down. He had tears in his eyes. He said, Pastor Jim, I'm so sorry. Are you going to forgive that person at that point? Are you going to help your wife forgive when you take your shirt off and she goes, what in the world happened to you today? And that person's going to sit in church on Sunday. Hey, when you serve like that, there's going to be, and some of those things are things parents don't share with their kids. Some of you think you know the whole story, but I would bet if I, and I'm not encouraging betting, but, but I just want to tell you, I would bet that for many of you, you don't know the whole story. I would bet for many of you, your parents shielded you from some of the worst things that they went through in ministry. You think you know the whole story because you tried to eavesdrop on what they were talking about. But there's a lot of things that they probably went through that you had no idea. And when's the last time you ever called your parents and said, Mom and Dad, I've had an attitude and I'm sorry, but I just want to tell you, I'm so thankful that you spent your life serving. You spent your life ministering to people. You know there's people that are going to go to heaven because those of you that grew up in a ministry home because your parents served the way they did. You know those people will never forget it. But I used to say I could win the world to Christ. And if I lose my kids, it doesn't really count too much. I know it does for the kingdom of Christ. But I trust me, every one of your parents cares what you think and they love you deeply. And for some of you, you need to say, you know what? It's time I tell them thank you. And maybe you just need to get back in your room today and write them a thank you note and say, you know what? I've never said this. In fact, Mom and Dad, I kind of thought I would never go into ministry because of how you were treated, because of what you went through. But Mom and Dad, I was reminded today in chapel that I can't remember the last time I thanked you for going into the ministry. Trust me, it'd mean the world for your parents to hear that from you. God did not make a mistake by putting you in the home you grew up in. Do you think Joseph wondered about that? You think when Joseph's all of his brothers, I mean, you think you have problems with your brothers and sisters. Could you imagine if all of your brothers and sisters ganged up on you and sold you into slavery? Man, I love my family. I mean, did he have some family problems? And then he's just, everything goes wrong. He's framed by Potiphar's wife. He's thrown in prison. I mean, he has a horrible life in Egypt until he's second in command. And his brothers are starving and they come down. He recognizes them. They don't. Could he have killed them right then? You realize that Joseph could have killed them and no one would have ever known it was Joseph. But Joseph was forgiving. Joseph didn't get bitter. And did Joseph end up having an amazing ministry? And Joseph came from a broken home. But Joseph didn't let it get to him. And remember when dad dies? You know, and the brothers come and they go, man, he's going to kill us now. And they say, hey, Joseph, we read the will, we ran it by our attorney, and dad was crystal clear in paragraph one, don't kill us. And that's where he says that great statement, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Do you think that only applies to Joseph, or could that apply to you? Do you think some of the crummy things that you went through, God could be using those things in your life so that you can help someone else down the road? Be thankful for their service. Number four, choose to love them. Go to Romans 12. We're almost out of time. Well, we are out of time. Let's just go quickly. Let me give you the last two. Romans chapter 12. Verse 17 and 18, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Go to verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Choose to love. Don't be overcome by evil. I agree, you probably were judged unfairly by someone. Don't let that person take you out of ministry. Don't let that person, and by the way, and I said this in part one, your response is your responsibility. The problem is often not the problem. It's your response to the problem that's the problem. Make a choice to love. And then lastly, embrace being an example. You know, I grew up, I was the kid that everyone said, well, if Jim's there, then you can go. And I hated that as a teenager. I could drive. We had a station wagon. Some of you don't know what that is. It's like a really cool Mustang, all right? It's a... And it had a really cool back door. Someone had to let you in and out of the back door. You couldn't, if you got in the back seat, you couldn't get out unless someone let you out. It was pretty awesome. And I'd have this station wagon. You put nine people in a station wagon. And I had parents say, well, if Jim's driving, my kids could go. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that pressure. But I want to challenge you, and let's just close here in 1 Peter 5:3. Every day when I walk to my desk, I have a little sign that says, if serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. And I read that every single day as I walk to my desk. And I want it to remind me every single day that if serving is beneath me, leadership is beyond me. And lots of people, you know, Moses served for 40 years and then he was a leader. Jesus Christ was a servant, then he was a leader. I mean, you could just look all, it's a common pattern, serve and then lead. And people say, well, I want to be the big cheese. I want to go. If you want to go into ministry so you can be a leader, you don't get it. Ministry is about serving people. And he comes here as he's talking about the shepherd in verse 1 Peter 5:2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. The greatest thing you can do, and I would just end with this, and I try to tell my kids this. If I was a plumber, I would have the same rules in my home. I tried to never say, do this because you grew up in a pastor's home. I always said, you do this because it's right. Should you be a good example all the time? You should. So why get bugged when people are bugging you about it? We all should be a good example all the time, but yet we get irritated when someone wants us to be a good example. Say, well, I'm supposed to be a good example anyway. And so embrace that. Say, you know what, I need to be a good example. I want to be a good example. I'm going to keep working on being a good example. I'm not going to get irritated when people criticize me for being human. You know, if you live long on this earth, you will mess up. And you will probably beat yourself up more than anyone else will beat you up. But Satan always has someone there to point it out. There's always going to be someone who's there to tell you how much you messed up. And you just need to say, I need to go get right with God, I need to get right with others, but I need to remember God has forgiven me completely. And some of you need to let your past go. Some of you, God's forgiven you, you need to let that go. And you say, hey, I'm not chained to my past, I'm free to live for God. You know, regardless of my past, I have a wonderful future. But some of you, Satan throws that guilt on you, and it's just in your face all the time, and you need to say, get behind me, Satan. I've repented, I'm right with God, I'm right with others. Live for God in the future, and God will use you. I mean, did people make horrible mistakes in Scripture, and God still used them? I mean, there's people that made bigger mistakes than any, unless you have killed someone, and I don't know about it, which I hope isn't true. But did God use Paul? You know, the Bible says he forced people to blaspheme. How do you think that happened? He tortured people. He was holding the coats when Stephen was stoned to death. Did God use him? That's why I think Paul writes, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. Because if I think about them too much, how could I serve the Lord? I've done so much damage to the cause of Christ. But I have to forget those things which are behind and press forward to the things which are ahead. God can use every single one of you this morning. There's not one of you, regardless of your past, that God can't use and doesn't want to use. But you have to make a choice. I can't make you forgive. I can tell you it's the only way you'll be happy. You can stay mad at the people in your church you grew up in. You can stay mad at your parents, but you know what? It's really only going to ruin you. Or you can come and say, you know what? I got to forgive. And if you forgive, you will have a peace that passeth understanding. So let me encourage you with these 5 points. Forgive. Have right motivation. Be thankful for your parents' service, those of you that grew up in ministry home. Choose to love the people around you and embrace being an example. Let's close in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for our students. God, I pray for those who are wrestling through some of these things. And Lord, I do not want to make light of the hurt that they have. But God, I pray for those who come from a broken home. For those who've lost a spouse, a parent. And maybe they're sitting here with a lot of hurt. Maybe for some the hurt is pointed at you. God, I pray you'd help them to think through what they've heard this morning. And God, bring them to a point of being willing to forgive. God, help them to understand that the only person who continues to get hurt by a bitter heart is them. And God, as we get this opportunity to minister to people who are laying their lives down in ministry, God, as I read the text of a pastor who had to cancel after his flights are booked and everything planned, because in your plan, someone in his church went into ICU. God, encourage his heart. Minister to him, though he can't be here. God, be with this person in his church. Lord, if it be your will, we pray for healing. And God, I pray that you would watch over the teams as they travel today. But God, do a work in all of our hearts. God, our world is in such need. And we have the wonderful opportunity to serve you and share the good news that can change people's lives, that can bring hope to hopeless people. And God, as we see these great needs, may you challenge every heart here to deal with the things that they need to deal with so they can be used by you. Give us a wonderful week this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And this has been Conference Pulpit from the Bible Broadcasting Network. Dr. Jim Tillotson finished out the message, Dealing with Hurt. Jim Tillotson is president of Faith Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary in Ankeny, Iowa. Perhaps you're dealing with hurt as a teen, or perhaps you're dealing with doubts concerning your salvation in Christ. If that's the case, we direct you to help and information from a biblical advisor found at bbnchat.org this evening, bbnchat.org, bbnchat.org. Join with us this time tomorrow evening for another message during Teen Week on Conference Pulpit, as Jim Tillotson will deliver the message, The Danger of Sipping Haterade.
And that concludes our online feature. We are listener-supported here at BBN. And to find out how you can help, click donations at bbnradio.org.